Hello and welcome to 2020 Vision Sunday, a look at how we can plant deeper, connect stronger, and reach further than we ever thought possible in the coming year here at Empower Church.
Hey, welcome today, 2020 Vision, a really exciting Sunday for us to just refresh ourselves on who we are as a church and where it is that we're going. Traditionally, first Sunday of March in previous years has been a weekend where we've celebrated what God is doing in our house and what He wants to say to us as a family of faith. In fact, we actually run an autumn to summer calendar as a team. And so in some ways, today's the first day of that calendar, of that vision. So if you've had a fairly average start to 2020 so far, just go ahead and claim that today's a new year, that it's a new day, that my church is turning over a new page and starting on a fresh autumn to summer adventure. And I'm a part of that. So I'm just going to go ahead and claim that in Jesus' name. We've just finished partnering around a 21-day fast together. And it's our way of setting up for the 12-month vision that is to come. And I really do believe that God's presence and breakthrough and help and grace is on the way in Jesus' name. If you've had a bit of a rough week, you're not alone. There's a few of us out there that have had a little bit of an attack, a little bit of a touch-up, a little bit of nastiness going on, which tends to happen on the tail end of a fast. All that means is we're making the devil nervous. All that means is we're a threat to hell. See it as a compliment, because the enemy has limited resources and he wouldn't point it in our direction if we weren't dangerous. So when the custard hits the fan, it's not evidence of the fact that you're necessarily doing something right. It might actually be confirmation of the opposite, that you're in the right place at the right time doing exactly the right thing in Jesus' name. Amen. To set us up, once again, just turn your attention to the screen. This is the latest clip from the crew called the Bible Project, and this is their presentation of the Tree of Life.
The story of the Bible begins in a garden where God and humans live together.
And the biblical authors want us to see this garden as a type of temple. The top is the most sacred place, the Holy of Holies, where God's presence is most intense.
And that's where we find the Tree of Life. So, what's this tree all about?
Well, it represents God's own life and creative power that is made available to others. In fact, God's first command is that humans eat from all of the trees, including this one.
So you're ingesting God's own life. That sounds intense.
Yeah, this meal transforms the one who eats it. Or in the words of the story, it leads to eternal life.
Okay, but on the way to the Tree of Life, the humans have to pass by another tree called the Tree of Knowing Good and Bad.
And God says that eating from this tree will kill you.
How does it do that?
Well, it represents taking the authority to do what is good in your own eyes. And when humans do that,
it leads to broken relationships, violence, and death.
And so here's the thing. Both trees look beautiful, but one of them is a false tree of life.
And the humans take from this false tree of life.
And they're exiled from the garden for good.
Which raises the question, can anyone ever get back to the tree of life?
Well, later on in the story, we meet a man named Moses, and he encounters God in a desert tree on top of a mountain.
Oh, you mean the burning bush, where Moses is told that he's standing on holy ground.
Yeah, it's a plant on a mountain radiating with God's life and power, just like the tree of life.
And God tells Moses, bring your people up to this mountain so we can form a partnership.
And this partnership will force them to make a choice. Will they follow gods of their own making, or receive life from the true God?
And in this story, they give their allegiance to an idol.
And it's just the first of many. The story goes on to show generation after generation choosing gods of their own making. And these idols were usually placed on tall hills like beautiful trees. But they're false trees of life that lead the people into self-destruction, exile, and death.
It's like death's grip on us is too strong to resist. Is there any hope?
Well, let's turn now to the story of Jesus. He came to announce that God's eternal life was available once again through him.
So Jesus thinks of himself as the tree of life.
Yes, this is what he meant when he claimed to be the vine that brings God's life into the world.
And Jesus invited people to eat from him.
Yeah, he was inviting people to trust him and be transformed by his life. But Jesus also exposed how corrupt humans are, how much they love false trees of life. And so Jesus presented people with a new choice between life or death.
And this time, they don't just choose death. They also chose to attack the one who sustains all of life.
Yes, Jesus is led up to the top of a hill where he dies upon a tree. The cross is the sad and violent result of humanity's desire to do what is good in our own eyes.
The tree of life has been overcome by the power of death.
Well, it seemed that way. But Jesus said that he was a seed of God's life that would die in the ground, but then grow into a plant that would bear much fruit.
So to defeat death, Jesus went through it.
And now this new tree of life stands before us all. We can eat from it, but it will mean passing through death like Jesus, allowing our old way of being human to die.
So that a new humanity can grow in its place.
Yes, Jesus said, "He is the vine, and we are his branches." So not only do you eat from this tree, you're invited to become a part of it, helping produce its fruit so that his life and love can spread through us to others.
And so the story of the Bible ends in a new garden,
which is also a kind of temple, with the tree of life at its center, providing healing and life forever to all who choose to eat from it.
From the very beginning, God has had in mind a temple garden, a place of paradise where we, humanity, are able to connect with divinity, with heaven, and to interact and encounter one another, the father and sons and daughters, in love and connection and in relationship. And that picture continued on, whether it be the picture of Eden's garden or Moses' tabernacle or Solomon's temple or later Jesus' church, the metaphor of trees being planted in the house of God has been an ongoing picture describing how we are to position ourselves as the Lord's people. We are meant to enjoy God. We're meant to enthrone God. And we are also meant to be empowered by God in order to extend God's kingdom. That's us as a part, as trees planted in the temple garden. You think about the original instruction to humankind: be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Who knows that that's an expansive vision? That's an enlarging vision. The Father's instruction to Adam and Eve in the garden was that that original family of faith was called to grow the garden of God, to plant the seeds of Eden, to extend and advance the zone of God's glory until it covered the earth like the waters cover the seas. That was mankind's original mission. And even later, after the fall, where the Father again is giving instructions, this time for what appears to be finite and specific structures that wouldn't grow, the tabernacle and the temple, they had specific measurements. And yet, even though they had a set size, we can still see that the heart of the Father was to expand that environment and extend that zone. Hence his prophetic encouragement in Isaiah 54, which says this: enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. This is a text we know is speaking of the people of God, Israel, the temple, which is why the Apostle Paul quoted from it in the New Testament in that exact context. Are we seeing the pattern here? Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Israel, enlarge, lengthen, strengthen, spread out. And then, of course, who could forget the incredible Savior of the world, Jesus, who's the herald of the new covenant, the bringer of God's new kingdom, the giver of God's love and gospel message, who said this to his disciples, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Who knows? To go means to stretch out, to advance, and to extend. Acts 1 verse 8, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Is anybody picking up what God's putting down today? That from Eden until now, God has desired to extend and expand through his covenant people a temple garden of his grace, glory, and goodness until it covers the whole earth and blesses every person with the love of the Father. Who knows? Our world needs the love of the Father. And it needs the kingdom of God. It needs the goodness of God. Which means that you and I, as people who serve and love God on this 2020 Vision Sunday, we are called to be planted and prospering parts of the house of God. And furthermore, that is meant to bring not only blessing to our lives that we would expand, but that also we would contribute to the environment of the house so that it can expand. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree, the psalmist said. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." I want to encourage you this morning that this is who we are. This is how heaven sees us. This is what the Lord has spoken concerning our lives, that we are plants and pillars of faith who are brought together and who are rising together and who are standing together as a spiritual garden temple that hosts the very glory of God. This is a picture that extended into the New Testament as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? You together are that temple." 1 Peter 2 verse 5. "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." Ephesians chapter 2, "You are members of his household. In him the whole building, this temple garden, is joined together. It rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Empower Church, we are a garden temple of God. We are plants and pillars of glory. We are carriers of the kingdom, and we are together the house of God. John Stott says it this way in his book, The Living Church. "Every Christian congregation is called to be a worshiping, witnessing community. We come to Christ for worship and we go for Christ in mission. We gather on Sundays and scatter for the rest of the week." You know, that sounds like seed going out. "And in the rhythm of the Sunday weekday, gathering, scattering, coming, going, worship, mission, our structure will conform to our double identity of worshipers and witnesses." The church is supposed to be God's new society, the living embodiment of the gospel, a sign of the kingdom of God, a demonstration of what human community looks like when it comes under his gracious rule. In other words, God's purpose is that the good news of Jesus Christ is set forth in our midst visually as well as verbally. The invisible God who made himself visible in Christ now makes himself visible in Christians as we love one another. Amen. You might wonder this morning, why is it that people all over the world gather in the millions, billions into local churches? How is it that I, as a pastor, can ask so much from people? What is it that emboldens me to compel and urge and encourage people that I ask for a tithe of people's finance to go into the local church vision? But I asked for our team to be here at 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning to set this place up. How I can ask every member of our church to participate in 21 days of prayer and fasting, where for 3 weeks we set aside food and television and other carnal distractions that might be holding us back from our next level in order to press into more of God. How can pastors all over the world be so audacious in their requests and expectations of people that we would ask so many people from so many different preferences and so many different backgrounds to set aside their wants and desires in order to selflessly come together and act as one? And the answer is this. Because we are absolutely convinced that this is the house of God. We are absolutely convinced that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we might declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. What is it that emboldens us? The fact that once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Therefore, we urge you to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul and live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is God's house. This is his family of faith. Yes, it's about us, but it's also not about us at all. It's about us creating an environment where his glory can come and impact people's lives. And that's worth whatever gift is required. And furthermore, I'm also encouraged, and I trust you are as well, that those who put God first get blessed. That's the promise of Scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus promises, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our Father is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Jesus said, a good measure poured out, shaken together, and running over will be given to those who sacrificially serve our King. In other words, trees that get planted in this house get blessed. And that's why I have no hesitation in inviting and urging and even daring people to give generously of their time, talent, and treasure into the local church vision, because I know from personal experience the best thing that we can do for our city is be planted in the house of God. The best thing that we can do for our family is to be planted in the house of God. The best thing that we can do for our soul, for our mental health, is to be planted in the house of God, to spend ourselves in service of Jesus. The best thing that you can do for your children, parents, is to model what it means to be planted in the house of God, spending yourself in service of Jesus. I've challenged my two oldest boys starting 6 a.m. next week. They're going to be a part of the HQ crew, coming in early and setting up the house of God and loving Jesus and doing some hours, because I've been so radically and richly blessed by the house of God. I know it's going to rock their world, build their lives, and set them up for phenomenal success. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Oh, just go easy on them. They're just teenagers. They're not capable of all of that. Rubbish! It's rubbish. They're world changers. They're not generation next, they're generation now. And it's their time. Hallelujah. And when we give ourselves to the house, when we give ourselves to Jesus like that, the Lord makes a beautiful, paradoxical promise. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. How does that work? Let's just try to wrap our head around that for a little bit. How does giving myself away, losing my life, gain me anything? That doesn't make any sense. But when you think about it this way, in the context of what we've been talking about this morning, a plant or being a pillar, being commissioned by God, like Adam and Eve of old, who were planted in the garden of God and they were meant to expand that kingdom structure of God's house, what does a plant do? The answer is it grows down in order to grow up. It gives itself away into the secret place in order to be able to develop fruit and something expansive in the public place. And likewise for us, when we go all into the soil, we are then empowered to rise up to the sky. In fact, the strongest trees on the planet interlock their roots under the surface, supporting one another, upholding one another, ensuring that the tree beside them is braced against the winds and held firm within every storm. Which sounds a whole lot to me like Ephesians chapter 4, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This year, 2020, interlocked lives, unified in our stance, deeply invested in the soil that God has planted us. And similarly for us spiritually, when the root system of our lives is uncompromisingly invested in God's priorities, God's kingdom, God's house, then we are planted in a supernatural soil that enriches us and causes us to grow up together in Him. The deeper the roots, the sweeter the fruits. Like a plant's anchoring root system, we're able to rise together in our service, in our sacrifice, in our worship and in our witness, in our flourishing and in our fruitfulness, in our unity and in our camaraderie this year. We will be Empowered Church, a church that empowers people to discover Jesus, grow in discipleship, and fulfill their destiny. Through our 10 a.m. worship service this year, we will equip our dream team for the work of the ministry through our 9 a.m. ministry training service. We will lengthen our cords. We will strengthen our stakes in order to stretch out to the right and to the left this year. We will give more, pray more, love more, serve more than ever before in order to see this garden of God grow with new trees coming in and being planted and finding their place of belonging in this family of faith. This year, we will plant deeper. We will connect stronger. We will reach further than we ever thought possible, because now is the time for us to grow this garden of this house, because we are trees. We are Jesus' trees, and may His fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control grow on the branches of our faith and service and prayer and compassion this year. as we stretch ourselves out in faith and plant ourselves deep in service, as we lock ourselves strong together in love. May the Lord be glorified in our church today, the way that he was in the first church back then. My closing scripture. May this sound like us this year. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That miraculous, extraordinary, fruitful picture starts with those three words, they devoted themselves. Maybe it's not a matter of us waiting on God. Maybe instead it's a matter of him waiting on us. Heaven is poised to bring an outbreak, a flood of his goodness, of salvations, of power. They planted themselves. They devoted themselves. Their time, talent, and treasure went into the soil of their church family. And subsequently, that New Testament garden of God grew and flourished and thrived and expanded to the point that 2,000 years later, on the other side of the world, here we are as an extension of that God environment, of that temple garden. And likewise, can I encourage us to look through the lens of eternity, the lens of history? If we plant ourselves now, what sort of legacy could we pay forward to our children, to our city, to our future as a result of our investment this year in this 2020 vision? Amen. Can we pray?
Thanks for joining us. For more information about who we are, you can connect with us on Facebook. Or if you're in the area and interested in joining us for one of our worship services, we would love to welcome you. 10 a.m. Sundays at Cronulla Central.